If you'll open up your Bibles this morning and turn to Isaiah chapter 30, and we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. I'm going to have Brother Cleo read those for us, and we're going to be looking at some other verses today. And I just want to kind of share my heart with you and talk to you about the highway of life. We're all in it. We're all on it. And sometimes it can be unpredictable. I want to encourage you in that today and give you some instruction along the way to help you out. So, Brother Cleo, if you'll come and if you'll read Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 through 22. Or back up to 19 to 22.
Beloved, Isaiah chapter 30, verses 19 through 22. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven image of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a minstrel's cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence.
You know, I really believe with all my heart that the children of Israel were independent Baptist folks. And the reason is because they were not headed, stubborn, and most times very uncooperative. And the children of Israel, you go through and you study the Word of God, you'll see many times the children of Israel, they get right with God, and God blesses them, and God gives them, and God takes care of them. And then they get careless when the world is giving them all that they need, and they kind of forget God, and then God puts them into judgment and because of their rebellion, and which is that's the way this chapter starts out, talking about the rebellious children, and then they'll repent and get it right and get back in line, and it's not long, and they do it after. That they'll do it again, and that's why I really kind of believe that they're independent Baptist, because we have a lot of the same character traits a lot of times, and I want to bring some things out to you to this morning here, and I want to share some things with you. But our reading here in verse number 19, it talks about a place. It talks about a place where you go, or where the children of Israel would go, and it says some things about that place. It said there'll be no more weeping, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee, and at the voice of thy crying, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And again, this is speaking of a place. And for our bringing an application to this, living, being a saved, born again Christian, and having a walk with the Lord is that place for us today. And when we're in that place, we'll have a lot less tears. We'll have a lot less problems. We'll have more communication with God. A lot of times, folks, when we run into, as the next verse tells us, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, we're in this world, and what we know about this world is it changes year by year. day by day, moment by moment. I mean, everything changes, and it's never the same. And sometimes we get hit with things unexpected. Sometimes we get hit with delayed judgment on our life because we're not where God wants us to be. We're not doing what God wants us to do. And as the children of Israel did so many times. And then what the Lord does is He sends adversity their way. He sends trouble their way and affliction their way. And what it does is it helps wake them up. And they run back to where they're going. And then as this scripture talks about, and it tells us that when those days come, if you're in the right place on verse number 19, if you're having the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you're in the right place, what happens in verse number 20 when those adversity comes, when the afflictions comes, because they will. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world today where there's so many gray areas where things that used to be wrong and sin, people don't call them wrong and sin anymore. But I got news for you, folks. It still is. It still is. If it was sin yesterday, if it was sin 50 years ago, if it was sin 100 years ago, it is still sin today. But we live in a world, and we live amongst religious teachers that will teach us that things that were sin are no longer sin, and it's okay to do certain things that you didn't do before. But folks, And what we're getting here in the scriptures is as it talks about and lets us know that when God brings when the Lord allows the adversity to come, when the afflictions come, I find it very interesting here. It says, "Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers." You know, we live in a day where there's lots of struggles, there's lots of problems, there's lots of trials, but praise the Lord, He's given us a book. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us 66 different books inside the Word of God that teaches us and shows us everything that we need to know to navigate through this life. If we navigate through this life in darkness, folks, we navigate through this life in darkness by choice of our own, not by choice of God. The other thing that God has given us here on this earth to help us navigate, and as it speaks of teachers, is He's given us a church. He's not only given us the Word of God, He's given us a place to go and study the Word of God, a place to where we can go and we can find out what the Word of God has to say. And many of the problems that we run into in our lives is because, praise the Lord, I'm glad you all are here, but you know, there's some folks at home today that shouldn't be at home today, they should be here, and what they're missing out on is they're missing out on instruction. They're missing out on what they need in order to make it through the week. And then, the scripture here talks about a teacher. Folks, now I may not hit it on the nose every service, but God has given you a teacher. God has given you somebody that will lead you. And as the scripture says here, going to the when you turn to the left or when you turn to the right, you know which direction to go. You know where to go because, you know, folks, I pray every day. And I ask God to give me what you all need. I ask God to give me what I need. And as problems come up in each one of your lives and you share those things with me, I go to the Lord and I ask the Lord and I pray and I tell the Lord, I said, Lord, help me guide them. Show me from the scriptures where to direct them. But you know what's really sad is most of the time, that advice is not heeded. It's not paid attention to. It's not followed. You know, I'm just kind of sharing a couple of things here with you, and then I'm going to get into the message, and we'll probably finish it tonight. But God has given us a relationship with Him. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us a church, and He's given us a teacher. And you know, if we'd apply all of those things in our lives, we'd have a lot less sorrow. We'd spend a lot less time bumping into walls and getting a lot more done for the Lord Jesus Christ. There'd be a lot less trials and things in our life. You know, sometimes, you know, I'll have folks that will spend more time critiquing my message and how it was delivered instead of paying attention to what the message is. You know, I know that there's days that I don't deliver very good messages, but you know, the Bible says that His word would not return void. And if you're listening and if you're paying attention to what's being said, you'll get something from it, no matter how bad my presentation is. If you're paying attention to it, and if you're listening, and if you're following along, and if your heart is where it should be, you're going to get something out of it. And that also includes any preacher that gets up here and preaches. And again, you say, well, preacher, you're scolding us a little bit. Well, just every now and then we need to do that. But what I want to help you. I want to help you in the road of life. Because we have things that come up in our life. We have things that happen. And some of the things could be prevented if we would just pay attention to God. And if we pay attention to the teachers that God has put before us. But there are things that come around where we need advice, and if we're walking in the road of life, if we're walking where God wants us to be, then we'll have less problems. You know, there's changes every day; everything changes. But if we walk in the road of life with Christ, pay attention to these next words: as Lord. That word Lord means master. That Lord means He's in control. That means we're yielding to His way. That means we're doing the things that He wants us to do. You know, if we'll do that, there'll be a lot less gray areas. There'll be a lot less things in our life that'll be confusing. There'll be a lot less surprises that come up. Because the Bible says when we live our life with Christ and we allow Him to have control of our life as our Lord, we can trust Him because He told us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. You know, sometimes we find ourselves out there in the world where it seems that we're all alone because a saved, born-again believer has the Holy Spirit in your heart. Now, you may be quenching that Spirit. You may not be listening to that Spirit, but nonetheless, that Spirit is with you everywhere you go, and you can't separate you from the Spirit of God if you're truly born again, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, sometimes we get out there And he told us, he said He would never leave us nor forsake us. But you know, we can leave Him. We can forsake Him. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. Don't get me wrong there. What I'm talking about is we can leave His leadership. We can forsake what He tells us to do. And then we get out there and our world falls apart. And we don't know which way to go. And so, first of all, I want to talk to you this morning about traveling the highway with Christ. If you'll flip over in your Bible to Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Bible tells us here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know, the first highway of travel that you need to be doing, and you need to be traveling with Christ. Now, that word with is really important. Because a lot of times in our lives, we're ahead of Christ. We're out front because, you know, we have a hard heart and we say, well, you know, hey, you know, I'm my own person, I'm my own boss. You know, I don't need anybody telling me what to do, and I know what's going on in my life, and we get out there and we get in front of God. Well, you can't be following God and you can't be with Christ if you're in front of Him. And the Bible says here, and I think this verse is really interesting. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, first of all, we need to be crucified with Christ in our salvation by faith. And if you're here today, and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if there's never been a time in a life in your life where you have confessed that you're a sinner, and you realize that you need a Savior, and have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the first thing that you need to do. Everybody, as the Bible says, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Everybody needs to be saved. That's the first qualification, as it talks about here. I am crucified with Christ. When we get saved, what we're saying is, I agree, I accept the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as my only way to heaven. And in that word crucified, obviously it's making reference to what Jesus Christ did for us, but it says, I am crucified with Christ. And when a person gets saved, what they're doing is they have put themselves on the cross with Christ for their salvation. Now, the other thing that I'd like to talk about, and as we look at that as being crucified with Christ, there's also something that comes along with that, is surrendering in full. When we talk about being crucified with Christ, it goes on then to say, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. You see, when we get saved, the Bible tells us we're bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're going to walk with Christ on life's highway, we must be surrendered in full. You know, and this is even true in my life, folks, and I have to ask the Lord to help me daily. But you know, I most of the time we give God part of our life. We're not fully surrendered, we're partly surrendered. You know, we go through and we say, okay, God, I don't want this area in my life, you can have it. I cherish this area in my life too much, so no, Lord, you're not allowed there. And we go through and we pick and choose on what we'll give to the Lord. You know, if we're going to be walking with Christ in this life's highway and traveling along with Christ, we need to be fully surrendered. And what that means is that means fully yielding over to everything God wants in your life. And I promise you, folks, if you will do that, it will make you a much happier person. You say, well, if I fully surrender to God, if I give every area in my life that God's speaking to me about, then I won't have any fun. I'll tell you what, folks, I have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And when I fully surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and again I'll be honest with you, I'm not totally there. There's areas in my life that I have to get up every morning and say, okay, Lord, I'm determined to let you have your way in my life in this area. And I'd like to challenge you, when you get up in the morning and you pray to God that you surrender over that area in your life. You say, well, I quit bother surrendering that a long time ago because I fail. Well, my dad always told me, a failure is the person who never gets back up. It's when you fall and you don't get back up. That is a failure. And so we, in order to walk this highway with Christ, first of all, we need to be saved. We need to have the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. That we need to be fully surrendered to Him, yielding each and every area of our life. It says, yet not I, nevertheless I live, yet not I. And when I'm crucified with Christ, what I'm saying, when I'm fully surrendered, what I'm saying is, I, Mark Siegbert, this flesh no longer lives. I've crucified it with Christ, and that's what it means there. By nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And what I'm saying there when I'm fully surrendered is what I'm allowing God, I'm allowing Christ to have His will and His way in my life. I'm allowing Christ to lead me wherever that may be. And you know what? I found in my life sometimes that the way the Lord Jesus Christ leads us does not make sense. You know, we've been studying in Genesis about Noah. You know, when God told Noah to build an ark, gave him the measurements, and told him he had 120 years to do it, because it was going to rain and it was going to destroy the earth, none of that made sense to Noah. You know, when we turn our, when we're fully surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, some of the things that He tells us to do make no sense. You say, well, then how do I know I'm supposed to do them? If I don't have all the answers, well, you know, that's where we live, by faith. How we know that we have the answer is by being in verse number 19 of our reading in Isaiah 30, it says the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You see, when you're in the Word of God, when you're praying, when you're in church, when you're following the advice of the teacher that God has put before you, you'll know. When you fully surrender and you think, well, you know, this doesn't make sense, because God will reveal things to you in His Word. So being fully surrendered. And then to be on this highway with Christ, we need to serve Him. We need to have service in faithfulness. You know, I think the biggest thing that is killing churches of our faith across America is laziness. Is laziness. People that don't want to serve. People that don't want to do anything. You know, people that don't want to participate and help. Folks, I want to encourage you, and I am so grateful and I am so glad that praise the Lord, since the beginning of November, we've passed out over 600 gospel tracts. I promise you, folks, the Bible tells us that God's Word will not return void. We may never see the results of it this side of eternity, but I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we'll see the results of what is being done. You know, we minister to people, I understand what you feel like. You know, we talk to people about the Lord, and it just seems like nobody's listening, nobody cares. But you know, what we're doing is we're planting seeds. I guarantee you, you didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior the first time you heard the gospel. I guarantee you, it probably wasn't the second or third or fourth time. You know, I've listened to several testimonies of some of you all that got saved later on in life, and you talk about your testimony of how you grew up in church and how you heard the gospel before. You know, it wasn't any stranger. It's planting seeds. And what we're doing, folks, is, and what our responsibility is to be a witness, and our responsibility is to plant seed. And we need to be serving. We need to be serving. We need to be diligent about things and serving the Lord. And if we'll do these things, folks, you know, when adversity comes our way, as the Bible says, the bread of adversity, and when the waters of afflictions come our way, what we'll do is we'll go to the teachers. The Bible says the teachers will not be removed from you. And they'll be there to help you to go to the left, or help you to know to go to the right. But you see, folks, we've got to be on the road. We've got to be with Christ. We've got to be willing to yield to Christ. Then the next one we'll look at here this morning, as far as traveling this highway here on this earth, is traveling with the church. Would you look over at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22 and 23? Ephesians 1. 22 and 23. The Bible tells us here, and hath put all things under His feet, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. As I've already made the statements, folks, I'm the under-shepherd of this church. Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible says, which is His body, the fullness of him that filled, that filleth all in all. You know, for folks, when we come to church, and I praise the Lord, we about broke out into it today. Praise in each service. Praise in each service. You know what, folks? We're so afraid of somebody thinking we're charismatic or we're not doing it right that we don't get happy about church anymore. You know, I'll tell you what. Sometimes I sit up here and we're singing the songs, and you all scare me to death. And sometimes I'm up here preaching and I'm looking out at you all and you know, I kind of want to duck behind the podium here and hide. You know, we need to spend time in our church praising in each service. Amen. You know, there are so many people around the world today that don't have what we have. Folks, the Word of God that we have sitting in our lap, less than 15% of the world does not have one single word of God in their language. Not one single word. There are millions and millions and millions of people all around the world that have no place to go to church. There's millions and millions of people around the world who do not have a pastor that they can call in the time of need. They don't have a teacher to guide them and direct them. They don't have somebody that's willing to come up behind them and give them a good swift kick in the rear end every now and then. We're so blessed. We ought to praise the Lord in each one of our services. Church is a place where we go with Christ and with the church to praise the Lord. You know, I think more people would be more excited about coming here if we enjoyed it. You know, if we enjoyed being here, if we enjoyed singing, if we enjoyed praising the Lord, I think a few other people would join us and do that. And as far as the church, we need to be in prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we ought to get up every Sunday morning and be praying and asking God for the power of the Holy Spirit to come down on our church. Amen. Now again, we have these kind of change of words here. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. Every one of us that have been saved and born again and have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have 100% of the Holy Spirit. You can't get any more of the Holy Spirit than what you already have. You say, well, what are you talking about then, Pastor, if you're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, what that means is we need to pray and ask God and yield over to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to have power in each and every one of our lives. When God says, move, move. When God says, you need to get up there and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, get up and move. When God says, you need to get up there and confess that sin and get it right with God and or the church or whatever the circumstance may be, get up and move. But so many times, we think, well, if I do that, somebody's going to think bad of me. Well, they need to be up here with you then. Amen. If they say anything, I'll personally invite them. We need to have the power of the Holy Spirit yielding in our services, yielding over to Him and saying and getting out of the Spirit's way and allowing the Spirit of God to have His way. And traveling down the highway of life with the church, We need to have purpose of winning souls. You know, if coming to church doesn't prepare you for going out and preaching the gospel, then you've wasted your time. We need to be prepared And we need to have a purpose. The purpose of Faith Independent Baptist Church is to come together, support one another in love, to praise the Lord, to ask God for the power of the Holy Spirit, and encourage one another for the purpose of winning souls. Going out and telling other people about Jesus, and supporting missionaries and doing all that we can to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the next one we'll look at here this morning, traveling this highway, we need to travel this highway with courage. Will you look at Acts chapter 28 and verse number 15? Acts chapter 28 and verse number 15. Acts 28:15. The Bible says, "And from hence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apophoma, and the three taverns whom were Paul, Saul. He thanked God and took courage." What this verse is talking about is Paul was on his way to Rome, and he was a prisoner. He didn't have liberty to go where he wanted to go. Now, he was going where God told him he would go, and in Paul's heart, where he wanted to go, as we've been studying that on Wednesday nights in the book of Acts, Paul was on his final journey, and he was on his way to Rome. And what happened is there were some folks that heard about it, and they came and met Paul on his journey. They come to help Paul with courage. They come to help encourage Paul keep on keeping on. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we in facing of trials, we need to be encouraging one another. We need to make sure that when trials come in each one of our lives, and there may not be a trial particularly in your life at this time, but as a church, we need to be looking around and we need to be encouraging others of what may be going on in their life. You know, it doesn't matter how they got there. It doesn't matter whether they deserve the circumstance or not. What our job and what our position is not to go to them as their judge. Our job and our position is go to them in love and encourage them to go the right direction, encourage them to do the right thing. So in the road, as Paul was going along, there were some people, there were some folks that came to encourage him along the way, encourage him in his trials. So in facing trials, in fierce temptation, you know, we've got some folks that they may not be, you know, you may not be in a trial, but you may be facing some fierce temptation. When the devil's clicking at your heels, you know what you need? You need somebody come up alongside of you and say, "Let me help you along, brother. Let me help you along, sister. Let me be that person that you can call. Let me be that person that you can rely upon to help you in your hour of temptation, to keep you from falling into sin." You see, temptation is not sin. Yielding to temptation is sin. You know, we'd have a lot less struggles and a lot less people falling into fierce temptation and falling into sin if we would come along beside them and encourage them and tell them, "Look, hey, no judgment. You need help, brother? Call me. I'll talk to you. I'll come help you. I'll do whatever it takes to help you in your time of temptation." Because we all have areas in our life that we're tempted in. You know, I was at a place yesterday. That was a church. We'll kind of leave that one alone. It was a church. And I was there for my granddaughter, and I was sitting there, or I was standing there in line, and I observed this man. Every time a lady would walk by, his head would drop down. Until he couldn't see her anymore. Next one come by, head dropped down. You know, that man had a problem. You say, oh, well, you know, yeah, he had a real problem. Men, don't be a judge. And the only reason I bring that up, folks, is because it's temptation. And by the way, ladies, if it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. If it ain't for sale, don't advertise it. And I'll go one step further. You're just as guilty as he is if you dress and cause him to sin. Right. Temptation. We need to come up along people and with people in this traveling in this life, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and encourage them in fierce temptation. We need to be helping our brothers and sisters in Christ in fiery troubles. All of us at some point or another wind up getting it in some kind of trouble. Sometimes that trouble is of our own doing. Sometimes that trouble has nothing to do with what we did. You know, when we come up along somebody to encourage them, can I help you? Don't try to determine who was at fault. Don't try to determine the source of the trouble. Just come up alongside of them and encourage them. Pray for them. Help them. Help them in the road of encouragement. So this morning we looked at, we'll finish this tonight, but we looked at the highway with Christ. Can I ask you this morning, do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd spend eternity in heaven? You say, oh, I'm not sure. Well, there's some doubt there. Preacher, I'm not even quite sure what you're talking about. Can I encourage you? The Bible says in Hebrews 9, it tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Up until the point of your death, you have the opportunity to change your eternity. You say, well, how do I know which way I'm going? Well, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I will tell you this morning, you are on your way to a place that the Bible calls hell. The Bible says it's a place of everlasting torment. The Bible says it's a place of everlasting fire. The Bible says it's an everlasting damnation. The Bible says that you'll be eternally separated from God for all eternity. You say, well, preacher, you're scaring me. I hope so. I hope so. Because it's real. You say, well, I just don't believe God would do that. No, he won't. But if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you will. You see, God will judge sin. God's righteous and he's holy, and sin will be judged. But you know, he already has judged sin. He's judged sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, you don't have to go and spend eternity in hell forever. You can go spend eternity in heaven with Christ. Because Jesus is all, God has already judged your sin through Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is accept him as your personal Savior. Just like for Noah, there was one door. Going to heaven, there's only one way. It doesn't matter what church you're a member of. It doesn't matter as far as anything else in your life. The only thing that will get you to heaven is by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to encourage you, if you're here this morning and you haven't done that, I want to encourage you to do that. In church, I want to encourage you to get on the road with me. As your pastor, sometimes it's so hard to get the boat going in the right direction when 3/4 of the people are rowing the wrong way. What we need to do is we need to get together in unity. We need to be rowing in the right direction. And that's what I want to encourage you to do today, church. I want to encourage you to go with me. Let's point the body of Christ in the right direction and see souls saved. See the power of the Holy Spirit come and be in the midst of our church and do great things. So I want to encourage you in that. And can I encourage you, church, to encourage? We all got a lot going on in our church, and what we need to do is encourage one another. I'm gonna close my book here because we got a lot going today, but it seems since our last revival, one thing after another, every day. Let's encourage one another. Let the Lord Jesus Christ sort it out. And let's just start rowing all the right direction and help everybody out and get some great things and encourage people. I want to encourage you to encourage people. And I believe God, I believe with all my heart, one of the reasons the devil's fighting our church so much, as I've shared with you before, we're this close. We're this close from saying, okay, Holy Spirit, we yield. We give it all. And you see, the devil knows when we do that what God will do with a small group of people on Elijah Creek Road. So I'm going to encourage you, encourage others. And as whatever God tells you to do in the invitation, folks, I want to encourage you to do that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for Faith Independent Baptist Church. Lord, I thank you for the honor that you have given me to be the pastor of your people. Lord, I pray that you would help me, Lord, each and every day to follow you. Lord, to be the best teacher that I can be. Lord, to give the best advice that I can give. Lord, to take the church in the direction that it needs to go. And Lord, I pray that we would travel down life's road in these last days with you, following you, being guided by you. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in the invitation. And I pray your will to be done. Lord, if there'd be anybody among us, Lord, today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they'd not leave before they let somebody show them from the Bible how they can know that they'd be saved. And we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.